Good morning, everyone. For the month of March, we're kind of focusing on evangelism throughout Mayo. And that big word simply means just sharing the gospel with others, sharing the good news of Jesus' life, death and resurrection, and telling others about the only one who can take away death and give life. And the next few Sundays, we're looking at people in the gospel whose lives have been changed as a result of their encounter with Jesus. And last week, David shared, we heard about Zacchaeus, the little man in the tree that had that encounter with Jesus and gave back four times as much from those he robbed and gave half his possessions away to the poor. And this morning, we're going to have a quick look because we have another testimony I'm going to share in briefly, and then Samuel is going to share his testimony. But we're going to have a quick look as we read there about the story of the paralyzed man and the four friends. Well, it doesn't actually say friends in the passage, but they were definitely a good friend. Anyone who brings someone to Jesus is a good friend. If someone's brought you, that's a good thing. That's the best a friend could do, is bring someone to Jesus. But the title on this chapter says, Jesus forgives, on my Bible it says, Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. And you do well, if that's all we remember this morning, that Jesus forgives and Jesus heals. That Jesus forgives and Jesus heals. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your peace, Lord. Thank you for the young people that got up here this morning and worshipped you and served you this morning. I pray that you bless each one of them and you keep them, Father. Thank you that you keep them, Father. You're the great shepherd, Father, and you don't let any of your sheep go. So we just pray a blessing of your word, Father, this morning. Hide me in the shadow of your wing. I pray that you would be glorified this morning, that I would get out of the way, Father, and that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Right, I have a question for us to start off. Have you ever met someone famous? Or have you ever encountered a famous person? For a minute, I just want you to ask your neighbor who's the most famous person you ever met and tell that story. So my little famous person story, it was last summer, and I was up in Coleraine at my cousin's, staying with Bethany and David. And I remember I was at this conference, Christian conference called New Horizon, and they have a big tent, and there's around 3,500, I think it's one of the biggest in Ireland, there's 3,500 can fit in this tent. But anyway, it was on the full week, and on the Wednesday, who was showing up but a fella called Bear Grylls, you might know him. He does all this kind of jumping out of planes and stuff like that. But I remember that morning I said, I was a big fan of Bear Grylls back in the day, but I said, I'll go early now to get into the tent, get a good seat. And as soon as I started driving, there was a backlog for like a mile down the road. And by the time I got in, the tent was full. There was over 5,000 people there. I was like 3,500 seats in the place. So those they had started. I was lining up. And I know I just come to the line and I seen the line was so long. And this lady said, my son and daughter are in there, my husband, and they have a seat for me. And she and the people were saying, well, you can't come in. Like, they weren't going to let her in because it was full up. And I kind of felt like the four lads when they're trying to meet Jesus. They're trying to get into Jesus. And I seen there was a woods going up right beside the tent. And I said, here, look it. Come with me now. We'll have a look. We'll have a walk up here and see. Because there's 700 people lined up. So we go on the other side and we start walking up along the woods, and lo and behold, we get to the door of the tent. Now the security man is there and says, here, get back behind the line again. Go back down to number 700 again. But another lady and her kids had seen us walking through the woods, along the woods, and she went that way as well. And when he seen the lady and the kids, he ran over to her and said, ye stop as well, you have to go back. And as soon as he kind of, his attention went to theirs, me and herself ran into the tent. Anyway, got in. But that was all good. That was all good. And I got actually a nice seat up front. And I was trying to get Bethany's brother-in-law. He's a big fan as well of Bear Grylls. And I rang him. I was like, listen, because he was coming. He couldn't get in either. I said, if you go up by the woods, you'll get in, right? But he didn't do it in the end. And it was just the meeting had started now and the worship had started and everyone was in. And all the 2,500, the other hundreds of people were turned away, started going home. And I was just on the door on the phone to David. And lo and behold, who starts walking in the door? Because I was at the back door, was Bear Grylls himself. And it was so amazing because he came in on the helicopter and I got the picture with him and said hello to him. But it was like, if I wasn't late and if I didn't go through the trouble, I wouldn't have met him at all. because he went as quickly as he came. He came in the helicopter and he was gone again as soon as he came. But the story goes, was it a life-changing encounter when I met Bear Grylls? No, it wasn't at all. It wasn't life-changing at all. It was a good story, all right. But there was no change of life there. So this morning, we're going reading about a life-changing encounter. So just that saying, it's better late than never, is a very true saying, just so you know that one. So from verse 1, I'm just going to go through it as best as I can here this morning with God's help. So verse 1, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So Jesus has come home. It says his home was Capernaum. I always thought his home was Nazareth. That's where his parents were, Joseph and Mary. But when Jesus got baptized and he started his ministry, it says he moved, in Matthew it talks about he moved to Capernaum. And this is where his little station was. This was where he called home. And this is the start of the gospel. And he's just after, he's starting to heal the sick, cast out demons, and he's starting to gather crowds. People want to see Jesus. So Capernaum was a small fishing village on the Sea of Galilee, and it's 750, I just looked it up, 750 square miles, roughly. And just context, Mayo is 2,000 square miles. So Jesus, he went around the villages preaching. So he would go to Castlebar, and he'd go to Isle Nady, and he'd go back to maybe, well, I don't know how far he'd get to. He wouldn't get to Belmullet or Achill or any of them places in Mayo. But that was his ministry. He was going around to the different villages. And Jesus could only be in one place at one time because he was God the Father, God the Son. God, and he was God became human and came flesh and dwelt among us. But since he is back, the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has given us his Holy Spirit. And now the Lord is making it to Belmullet and to Achill and to all these places, getting further afield, because he's given us the Holy Spirit, and we're called to be Christ's hands and feet. And we know God is everywhere, but he calls us to be his hands and feet, and to be wherever we are, God is with us, and we can make an impact with those around us. 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, I'm just going to read it quickly, I have it here. It just talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. Just want to read it because it's lovely. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we know ambassadors are those that stand on behalf of their country or on behalf of someone else. And we, God is saying that we are Christ's ambassadors. And we're ambassadors, it's reconciliation. It says, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And reconciliation is bringing back again into harmony our agreement what has been alienated. It is a message of healing, restoration, and peace that God extends to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a lovely word, reconciliation, something we definitely look into again. But just verse 2, and we'll just go through verse by verse. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached to them the word. So there's such large numbers and there was no room left. And what did the Lord do? He preached the word to them. And it was so important to Jesus that they get the word, that they got the truth. That was so important to Jesus. Do you know, he cast out the demons, he healed the sick, he fed the 5,000, he even heals this paralyzed man. But the preaching, but the word was so important that he preached the word to the people that they'd know the truth. Because we know that verse that says, we know the truth will set you free. And I read last night, there's a difference between, it says he preached the word and teach the word. The preaching, just for myself here, knowing, you just a bit of information, preaching is primarily geared towards a life change. That's what preaching is, it's towards a life change, an absolute change of life. Like when he says, you must be born again. Do you know, it's an absolute change. And then like teaching is more like information based and equipping the believer. And both are important. And I'll let you make up your mind what I'm doing today. I don't know, I'm preaching or teaching, but God's word will bless the preaching of his word. So now verse 3. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Some men bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on it. And I was just thinking that he was a paralyzed man. And you know, some people are paralyzed to come into the church. They have fears. They don't know what it's about. They don't know what we do. But it's not about bringing people into church, but it's about bringing them to Christ. It's about bringing them to Jesus. Amen. And you can imagine they made such a mess. Like, they made such a mess breaking through the roof. And I'm sure there was a carpenter or a builder or someone within that group of four that knew, said, well, there's one way we can get through, lads. We can start tearing the roof apart and get them down that way. But I was just thinking, sometimes there's a bit of work involved when it comes to helping others and reaching out. And sometimes it can interfere with schedules. And we do have to be intentional in bringing others. And of course, we're led by the Spirit of God when it comes to this. But the Spirit of God sometimes leads us, gives us, it can be an inconvenience even. And I was just thinking of the story of Philip when he was led by the Spirit to the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you know, he was out of his way. I think he was on the road to Gaza, but the Spirit led him through the wilderness to get to the same place. And just that sometimes it can be an inconvenience. And sometimes instead it can be more than just telling them, church is on 11. See you there. Sometimes it takes a going out, say, look, I'll collect you, I'll meet you, and we'll come together and walk through the doors together. Or, you know, or just even meeting them to talk about the Lord. Maybe it's not about getting them to church, it's about that initial step of faith. And sometimes, you know, it's hard enough sometimes to join a new club or a new even sports. I don't know, have you started anything new? Sometimes walking, doing the first thing can be the hardest thing. But if you have someone with you, it's always a lot easier. And just to encourage you to be alongside someone to encourage them. And just to help them with, just this word came to mind. We all, you know it, prejudice. And that's having like preconceived ideas before you don't know the truth. And I'm telling you what these words mean because I didn't know what they meant myself. So if you're wondering why I'm giving you all the dictionary notes. But, you know, common ones that like God is angry with me are, and Brian already shared that first at the start, that for God so loved the world, they gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you, do you know? And of course, the wrath of God is a thing. And if we're not under the blood, we're under the wrath of God. But God so loved us that he made a way. And it was through his son Jesus, like Awa shared. Some people might say, feel the prejudice might be that God is very distant. He's a very far away God. But we know that from God's word, again, knowing the truth of what God says, he says, when he said to pray, what did he say? He said, Abba, Father. He said to call him Father. That's how close he is. He's only a prayer away. And that's what he called him. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, Son, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, Son, your sins are forgiven. And I don't really fully understand how that works with seeing he's seen their faith. And then he says, your sins are forgiven. But I do know that the Lord has called us that we can stand in the gap for people through a thing called intercession. It's like praying and interceding. And we can stand in the gap for our friends and our family and those who are far off who do not know God. And God has given us that gift that we can stand in the gap for others. And I just thought, even when I read that, Jesus saw their faith and he said to the paralyzed man, Son, your sins are forgiven. And this is the first time Jesus has spoken to this paralyzed man. And the first thing he calls him is son. He said, Son. And I just thought that was lovely that he said, Son, your sin, the first thing. And it even brought me back to the story of the prodigal son, when the son is returning home. And the father comes to meet him and calls him son. And it's just, that's God's will for you, to be a son and a daughter of God. Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Just one thing I noticed there is the teachers of the religious law, they were very early to the scene because they obviously got a seat. It says some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, so everyone else was standing, but they must have been inside and got a nice seat. And they were quick to get in and they were quick to judge. But they said, "He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God?" And you know, they were right, because they're right in one sense, because only God can forgive sins. And last week, we had the evangelism course last Saturday or two Saturdays ago. But Mitch, he shared one thing and it just reminded me of that again. He was saying that God is the offended party. When we sin against others, whatever we sin, we actually offend God. And it's only the offended person that can say, "You're forgiven." And Jesus here is saying, "You're forgiven." And he's claiming that deity, that Jesus is God. And we do know that God, Jesus is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in the Godhead. But only the offended party, it's the offended party who can forgive. And just that, I was even thinking the story of David. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he ended up killing her husband. And he'd done all these awful things. And then it says in the Bible that David said, "Against you only, or against you and you only have I sinned, God." And I said, "Well, you've done a lot more to other people than just to God. You're after killing her husband. You're after committing, like, you've done a lot of things." But that was the start, you know. And Jesus, that's when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus seen the actual root cause. You know, he seen the root, the actual need of this man. He was paralyzed. Of course, he needed to be healed, but his sins needed to be forgiven. That was the most important thing. And we know that sin, the result of sin, the root cause is sin, because sin is where disease, sickness, death, weeds in the garden, it all comes from sin. And the root cause, Jesus seen the root cause, and he sees deeper than what we see. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? Which is easier? Which is easier to say, 'Take up your mat, your sins are forgiven,' or 'Take up your mat and walk'? And both are equally easy for God, as you know. For the joy, I just have this in the corner. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He set his face like a flint." Do you know, that was the will of God. Set people free. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And thank God Jesus is, as we mentioned already, the same yesterday, today and forever. And Jesus still forgives and he still heals today. And just that last bit again, that I'm just going to read that. He took up his mat and walked in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this before." I thought that was a love line. And I was just thinking to ourselves, if we want to be amazed, if we want to be stunned, if we want to praise God more, I'd encourage us all to bring sinners to Jesus, and we'll be amazed at what he'll do in each of their lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
We hope you've been encouraged and uplifted by what we've shared. If today's message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us or join us in person at Castlebar Christian Fellowship. You're always welcome here. Be sure to follow us for more sermons, devotionals, and updates. Until next time, stay strong in faith, love one another, and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless, and see you soon.